Quite a big response to superannuation. That's whether or not you think it should be raised at some stage. The government faces an interminable cycle of debt and deficits, which would see New Zealand's debt levels rise to more than $2 trillion in 40 years if it doesn't get the costs of an ageing population under control, writes Thomas Coughlin, senior political reporter for the New Zealand Herald. The cost of healthcare will rise from 6.9% of GDP this year to 10.5% in 2061. And the cost of superannuation will rise from 5% of GDP now to 7.6% of GDP in 2061. So this, according to the Treasury's most recent analysis of the government's long-term finances, and asks whether they are sustainable. With us to discuss is Dr. Eric Crampton, the Chief Economist at the New Zealand Initiative. Dr. Crampton, kia ora.
Good afternoon.
So this is not due to COVID spending, right, Eric?
No, these long-term forecasts, the Treasury has to produce these every 5 years. This year's was delayed a bit by COVID, but every 5 years, Treasury tells us that demographics in the long term are working against us. An aging population is more expensive. Healthcare becomes more expensive in particular. Superannuation costs become more expensive. And they'll always then forecast out, assuming that there are no other policy changes, what happens to net debt if the only way that we deal with this is by racking up more debt to pay for it rather than increasing taxes, limiting expenditure elsewhere, or adjusting the superannuation settings. So every time it's kind of a set piece, Treasury says things are going to kind of blow up unless policy gets changed. You've got a lot of time to deal with it, but somebody's going to have to deal with it. And every time the government says, well, actually, we don't want to deal with it.
So once every 5 years, debt levels rise to more than $2 trillion in 40 years as one forecast here. I mean, it sounds an astronomical number. Is it?
It's very large, yeah. New Zealand can't bear that. So traditionally, the Treasury has considered sort of 60% of GDP as being an upper bound on what New Zealand could possibly be borrowing. They'd be, with recent credit conditions, they've been thinking that they could borrow a bit more than that if they had to, and they always want to preserve some headroom for emergencies. So traditionally, they wanted to keep to around 20% of GDP as a net debt figure so that if we had a big earthquake in Wellington at the same time as a recession, we wouldn't wind up in a terrible circumstance, because you don't want to have international credit markets kind of seized up while you need to attract a huge amount of debt. Now, Treasury's been a little bit more comfortable with higher debt levels than that, but nowhere near the kinds of levels that they're here projecting. So this, again, this isn't what they're expecting is going to happen. This is what happens absent policy change. We need to have some way of dealing with it in policy.
Yeah, this is no policy changes happening. So let's talk about that then, because some, and we'll bring in our panelists very shortly, some pretty controversial policy changes have been modelled. So we've got higher taxes, moving the age of super to 67. One of them is actually increasing GST. I don't know what that might be. Might it be 16% or 16.5%? Indexing super to price growth, not wage growth. The New Zealand Initiative actually did a report on New Zealand super a couple of years ago. What did you favour?
So when we looked at it, we were trying to think through, well, what's the point of super in the first place? It's meant to be there so that in retirement, people can afford a basic bundle of goods. They're not left destitute by retirement. You want to make sure that those who haven't been able to accumulate savings over their lifetime aren't in a particularly bad spot. Now, if you start from that position, you start thinking about, well, at what age should that kick in? So healthy life expectancy keeps increasing. As that keeps increasing, you might expect that the age of eligibility should be increasing, but you have to give people a lot of time to plan for it, because otherwise they can't really make appropriate decisions about their own savings. So we had recommended, after an initial increase in superannuation age that could be forecast for a few years from now, you just index it to healthy life expectancy, which Stats New Zealand is providing regularly now. So every time that healthy life expectancy increases by a year, at that point, the age of eligibility for, say, a decade after that would be increased by a year. So you can just keep ratcheting it automatically rather than turning it into a political fight. It's just something that happens like an inflation index, but to the figures on healthy life expectancy.
Let's get our panel to jump in. Jenny.
You know, I find this really interesting, and I do think that it is such a political issue. Politicians who are in government now, or wanting to stand for, you know, be in government, are unlikely to support an increase in the retirement age, because it's not really a vote winner, is it? And so, you know, I think this is great that you're talking about doing it in
well,
a way.
Well, Judith Collins today said we need to talk about raising the superannuation. In fact, that's the headline right now on the, you know, the red banner on the Herald right now. So Judith Collins is fronting up, says we need to talk about it, Jenny.
Talk about it, but will they actually take the steps that are needed? Will they actually raise the retirement age? Of course, they have done it in Australia. They gave something like 23 years notice, because that's, it does need to be a literally a generation's notice, so that people can prepare for that longer working life, having less opportunity. I'm surprised that one of the things, though, that hasn't sort of reared its head in all of this discussion is means testing, especially with KiwiSaver now in play. I'm not saying I'm for it or against it. I'm just saying I'm surprised it hasn't raised its head now that we have KiwiSaver so entrenched, and the take-up of KiwiSaver has been so much greater than was ever anticipated.
Chris, we'll come to you, but response to that, Eric?
Sure. I think we would probably only have to start talking about means testing if we fail to raise the age of eligibility, because as more and more people are working after the age of 65, you're going to have increasingly transfers to people who are pretty well off from people who really aren't. So right now, NZ Super ensures that hardship rates, material deprivation, is lowest among superannuitants. It's the least deprived category of people. As more and more of those people are also working, you're going to be having big transfers from people who are poorer and in work and don't have their house yet to people who are richer and still in work and have their house. That is pretty inequitable. It's one of the things we worried about in our report. But you can avoid that if you start tracking it to healthy life expectancy, so that it is capturing more of what should reasonably be considered retirement, rather than double funding people who are still wage earners.
Double funding people who are still wage earners. Chris Buchaider.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the increase and the implications. If you look at for Māori male life expectancy, the moment is 73 and a half years, and for Māori females is 77 years. So if you increase the eligibility age, there's not a lot of time there for actually getting what you've put into in taxes over the course of your working life. I mean, at least that has improved from the first time. I think it was about 1995 when there was a suggestion that it go up to 70, and Māori life expectancy was actually under that, so there would have been no super at all.
Yeah, one of the things that you'd probably want to consider with increasing the age would be some kind of transitional disability benefit. So right now you can have people who are just worn out at age 62 and aren't eligible for NZ Super until they're 65. Part of raising the age of eligibility and then health expectancy indexing it would be probably looking towards some kind of health-tested disability benefit in the transition years.
Well, to speak to that, I mean, a bit of response here. Eric, at 59... and having done mostly physical work, my body is hanging out for turning 65.
Yeah, and that's a problem in the current system. It would be a problem in a revised system where you had an increase in the age of eligibility, and that's one of the reasons we were thinking about that kind of a mean or health-tested disability benefit for the interval from age 65 when you're currently eligible to the revised age after it's been ratcheted up. But we also like the idea of shifting to CPI indexing rather than wage indexing. Treasury shows how much that helps knock the costs back down. And again, if we think about what
just explain that a bit more. So
you
link super to the consumer price index and not wage growth.
That's right. So the two measures get you different kinds of outcomes. If you think that the point of New Zealand super is to maintain the position of a retired person relative to everybody else and their purchasing power, so as productivity increases over time and standards of living increase over time, then retirees should get all of that as well as whatever they've saved for through NZ Super, then you want to link it to wages. If you want to make sure that people have a basic bundle and that the value of that bundle is preserved, then you want to link it to CPI. And CPI, that prevents you from having inflation erode the value of the bundle. It makes sure that people can afford the kind of standard of retirement that you lock in now. But it also means that economic growth can help you afford superannuation, because if you link it to wages and productivity increases wages, it's a lot harder to grow your way out of the superannuation costs, because they just ramp up part and parcel with economic growth.
All right. Nice to have you on, Eric. Thank you for the coming to the studio. That is Dr. Eric Crampton, their chief economist at the New Zealand Initiative. And before we move on, let's go around the panel on this. You've seen this forecast, trillions of dollars in 40 years' time. Chris, you fundamentally for and against raising superannuation? Do you think it has to happen, or actually you're quite comfortable where it is?
I'm sitting on the fence on it at the moment. The thing that I'm more interested in, and particularly with Māori health, is actually improving health because of the cost that's in there. And that's why I'm really keen to see that the Māori Health Authority is given a good go, because if we can make a step change in some of those afflictions that Māori are disproportionately suffering from, the downstream saving for the whole country is in many billions of dollars. So, taking it out from that part of the equation interests me more at the moment.
All right, Jenny, for or against raising it to 67?
I think realistically we're going to have to look at raising it, and I don't think we need to go from, say, 65 to 70, but we are going to have to tick it up a little bit, and we have to address it now so we do look at 23, 25 years' time, so that people can plan for it. It has time to get, you know, in place before we hit that, you know, time frames that we're talking about, 40 years from now, and the costs. The fact is there is only so much money to go around, and a lot of it is now falling on the individual to support themselves in their retirement for both their healthcare and for actually their living expenses.
Okay.
And I think it's just reality.
Raising the super, just reality. What do you think? 2101. Judith Collins has said, and it's in the paper right now on the Herald, that we need to talk about raising it. Prime Minister said that by maintaining contributions to the New Zealand Super Fund, her government could give long-term certainty to New Zealand that way.